Oztober.
Come on, Australia.
A whole month eating solidly from the buffet that is Australian music. Celebrating the songs that made it famous and the artists that made it legendary.
You.
Serving up another plate of Aussie music. The Screaming Jets, Dave Gleeson.
Hi.
The Oztober Lunch.
We're celebrating all things Aussie music during October. This is the Oztober Lunch with Gleeso from the Screaming Jets and the Angels. My name's Matty O. I play drums in British India. And Gleeso, good to see you, man.
You too, Matty O. How you going, mate?
Good, mate. We're on a roll. I'm getting people texting me all day going, I can't believe you get to do a show with Gleeso every single day. I got a lot of jealous people, you know.
That old hack.
Nah, man. No way. Hey, big show today. We've got a very special guest coming in.
Yeah, look, Amy Shark. I'm constantly amazed by the types of music, the variety of music that comes out in Australian rock. And Amy Shark has she's certainly got her own style, and people seem to be taking to it all over the globe.
Definitely, mate. I'm just so impressed with your black book of guests that you can get onto this show. It's as you should be writing the biggest publicity company in Australia.
One day I'm going to do just prank calls and record them like the Jerky Boys.
I think we can do that maybe in November. We've also got a very special acoustic Cruel Sea performance too.
Yeah. I was actually lucky enough to hang out with Tex a little while ago. We did a show together, and I love him. He's got as much swagger as Mick Jagger, that boy. I think he's an amazing talent, and we'll hear from those guys talk a little bit about their massive album from 1993.
Exactly. Well, we'll play some Cold Chisel Nest, but now we've got Alone With You by...
The Sunny Boys. I remember when I was a kid, the first tattoo I ever got was a Radio Birdman symbol that they have for their band, and it was a toss up between that and the Sunny Boys, and those two bands, because I grew up surfing in Newcastle, they were kind of seminal. I said seminal bands in the Aussie surfing scene.
Oztober. It's the Oztober Lunch with Screaming Jets and Angels frontman Gleeso. My name's Matty O from British India. Next, we've got Amy Shark coming in, but Cold Chisel, Gleeso.
Yeah, mate. Look, I've got two older brothers, and they kind of influenced my musical tastes when I was growing up. And I remember when the album 20th Century came out by Cold Chisel, right? And I reckon I was in about year eight, so I was probably 14 years old.
Yeah.
And we went to me mate's place, which was in a place called Stockton, on the beach in Newcastle. And we went up into the loft above his dad's garage, and he stole a couple of bottles of his old man's Resch's DA, and we sat there and we listened to the whole album, 20th Century.
Yeah.
Halfway through it, I'll never forget it, Mick had gone missing, Mick, whose place we're at, and he climbs back up the ladder. We're like, where's Mick? He climbs back up the ladder. He'd gone and got black boot polish for some reason and painted his whole face black with boot polish. And we all got a laugh out of it. But the biggest laugh was that he had that stuff around his eyes for about 2 weeks after, because it was actual boot polish. And it's one of those things. The thing I love about music, I think the main thing is that it transports you somewhere. You know, there's specific songs that really take you somewhere. And this song, 20th Century, I just love it. And it was the first Chisel album that I owned and that I could call my very own.
Oztober. This is the Oztober Lunch. We're celebrating all things Australian music, and it doesn't get any better than this. My name is Matty O, and with me I have Dave Gleeson from the Screaming Jets and the Angels. And in the studio we have the one and only Amy Shark.
Amy, thanks for joining us.
Hi.
Well, there's plenty going on in your life at the moment, including your massive album Love Monster hitting number one on the ARIA charts. That's a feeling I've never had. Tell me what the feeling is like when you found that out.
It was pretty awesome, actually. It was the day that I was playing a festival called Splendor in the Grass, which is a very big festival for, you know, any Australian artist to play. And I was playing on the main stage, and it was like literally a couple of hours before that I got told that it's gone to number one. And it was just a massive celebration with everyone in the team, and I was just so proud of everyone.
So, Amy, take us back. Was there a pivotal moment growing up, maybe something you heard or something someone shared with you when you suddenly thought, music is a world I want to know more about?
it wasn't like a just a moment. It was, I was lucky that my parents had a really great library of music. You know, they used to listen to quite cool stuff and really melancholy stuff. So I was listening to like Guns N' Roses and Smashing Pumpkins and The Police and Silverchair at a pretty young age. And so I think I was just naturally drawn to beautiful voices and really melodic, melancholy songs. That made me feel something. I couldn't get enough of it.
Can you recall the first time you sat down, pen and paper, ready to go to write your very first song?
I've written so many songs that I really have to think about it. Hey, like I really have to be like, where was I? I remember I wanted to start playing guitar and that's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to be in a band and play guitar for people. Like, I wasn't writing songs or anything. I just wanted to be really good at guitar. And then I definitely started in my bedroom trying to sing because I remember thinking what a difficult thing to be able to do is sing and play because I was like, wow, like I'm having enough trouble playing, let alone singing. Like how do these people do it? And then I was just so drawn to it that I would do it every day, like for hours and hours and hours, and I wouldn't come out of my room. And then I just started talking and that's what it was. It was literally just poems talking, playing the same chords over and over again. And that's all I needed to become really addicted to just to practicing that.
It's always great to see Aussie musos and bands doing their thing OS on the telly. In your case, you've appeared on James Corden, Jimmy Fallon, you lucky bugger. For any Aussie artist who hasn't experienced that side of showbiz just yet, what was that experience like?
They've all been different, you know, but James Corden in particular was that was my first. So I was insanely nervous. And the night that I was on was the same night as Kim Kardashian and Ludacris. So it was a big night. You know, they were ready for big ratings and everyone was telling me, wow, this is you've got a big show tonight. And I was terrified, but the green rooms are so luxurious. And I have a really great American team. So, you know, I had my PR girl who I'm good friends with. My whole team was there. So, and then James came in and he's so funny and he knew I was nervous and, you know, this little Australian and he just made me laugh and feel so comfortable. So yeah. And then Kim sort of gave me like a couple of thumbs up. Like I think everyone in the whole place knew I was nervous. So I'm starting to have these little things that I do and I tell myself, what's the worst that can happen? Like I'm here, I might as well just put on a good show. I might as well just go out and have fun because like I've got nothing else to lose, you know. Those shows are intense, but they're also just so much fun.
The Gold Coast where you call home, what is it like? Do you get recognised when you're out and about up there?
Yeah, I mean like I don't walk around with a top knot and a bunch of Adidas gear, so it's... You know, sometimes I'll feel someone sort of looking and some people that know me really well and follow me will sort of know what I look like. But everyone's nice. It's not like I get hassled in a bad way. And I'm still getting used to it. Like, you know, even when I go and order a coffee and someone like looks at me for a really long time, I sort of want to say like, what's wrong with you? Like, is everything okay? And then like, oh, are you Amy Shark? And I'm like, oh, that's right. That's what happens now. You know, like, you know, I'm just getting used to it and making sure I'm really, really extra polite and, you know.
So you're always on guard just in case someone happens to be filming and they say something like, wow, that Amy Shark's a bit rude.
I know. Like, just something that I need to remember. It's not like I walk around being a bitch, but it, you know, it's people are gonna notice me. Our faces plastered on so many bus stops and stuff like that, which is really embarrassing. But you know, that's what comes with it.
Oztober. 1993, The Honeymoon Is Over came out for The Cruel Sea, and it propelled them to massive status in Australia. They actually won 5 arias for it. Album of the Year, Song of the Year, Best Group, Producer. Whoa. So they absolutely scooped the pool. The story is that they went out on a harbour cruise after the arias, run by, I think they were on EMI or something like that at the time. Yeah. And the story goes that Tex, in a fit of rock, threw his aria over the side of the boat into Sydney Harbour. And I guess it's still down there somewhere. And yeah, look, he's an absolute classic, Tex. I've met him a few times. Possibly my greatest Tex moment was I was watching Andrew Denton one night, late at night, 10:30 or so, in bed with the Cheese and Kisses. And Denton said, do you think it's a shame that we don't have the king of
rock, or the king of pop as it used to be back in the countdown days. John Farnham was a king of pop, and Darryl Braithwaite and John English, they were all. And he said, do you think it's a shame that we don't have it anymore? And Tex said, oh, what, maybe we could have like a fight between, I don't know, me and Dave Gleason, and we could get broadswords out and attack each other and see who's the king of rock. And I woke up the wife. I said, Tex Perkins knows my name, Darl. What do you think of that?
Do you reckon you could take him in a fight?
No way. No way. He's right from the streets, old Tex, and he's always maintained his real bloke attitude, and he's an absolute treasure of Australian rock.
Oztober. We've been celebrating all things Aussie music today. It is the Oztober Lunch with Gleeso from the Screaming Jets and the Angels. My name's Matty O, play drums in British India. Another show done, but we've got a big show tomorrow.
We have indeed. We're going to be talking to Mark Gable, front man of the Choir Boys, an absolute classic of a bloke, full of life and energy and, you know, still out there doing it. Got the Maccas ad. How good's that?
He'd be earning a bit off that, wouldn't he?
Oh, Maccas, give me a call. And,
give me a call.
Actually, I didn't write better, so it wouldn't do anything good for me. We're going to be hearing from Mark Gable and you know, once again, just checking out the variety and the vast array of Australian rock that's available to us out there and playing some of the great tracks.
Awesome, Gleeso. Another fun show, man. Looking forward to doing it all again tomorrow.
No, Waka. See you then.
See you then, mate. See you Oztober Lunch. Oztober.